Good morning. As we begin today, let us pray. O God, our beginning and end, by whose command time runs its course, bless our impatience, perfect our faith, and while we await the fulfillment of your promises, grant us hope in your word. Amen. Well, it is great to be back with you this morning after a week away in California for Thanksgiving. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving wherever you celebrated it. We took little baby Abigail out to California for her first airplane flight, and she did great. She charmed everybody there. At one point in the flight, two flight attendants came up to me, and they said, you know, how are you doing? Do you need a break? Do you need to go to the bathroom or anything? And I said, oh, no, I'm fine. They said, come on, we want to hold a baby. So... well, today is the second Sunday in the season of Advent. Advent is the 4 weeks that lead up to Christmas, and it's a time traditionally of preparation and expectation as we await the Christ child who is to be born again into our midst on Christmas Day. And Advent is a season of the Christian year that's marked by watching and waiting as Christmas lights go up and candles are lit, as the smell of fir trees and peppermint are in the air. If you look around the sanctuary today, you see the beautiful decorations. All of these are signs, things that remind us that something special, something different is on its way. And my question to you this morning, as we move through the season of Advent, is what are you waiting for? What are you expecting? What are you hoping will happen for you this Advent season? I want to suggest to you today that entering into the season of Advent is like walking into a coffee shop or a donut shop or a bakery. It's a place that you've been before and you know very well. It's part of your routine. Maybe it's Dunkin' Donuts or Seven Stars Bakery, my favorite, or Starbucks. Whenever I walk into Seven Stars, most days, I do the exact same thing. I get in line and I start to wait. And I check my watch and I check my phone and I give dirty looks to anyone who's taking too long to order. And then when it's my turn, I step right up to the counter and I give my order. The same order every time. A small hot coffee to go. I've got places to go. I've got people to see. I've got things to do. No time to sit and enjoy. In this coffee shop called Advent, we've got to hurry from one thing to the next. Does that sound familiar to you? Advent falls in an incredibly busy time of year. According to consumer researchers, the top 10 shopping days of the whole year all fall in the month of December. They're all during this season of Advent. And not only that, but December is also the last month of the calendar year. So there are so many things that need to get done before the end of the year comes. Writing final papers, grading final exams, finishing annual reports, paying bills, Christmas shopping, travel plans, setting up your Christmas tree that you bought from some Cub Scouts, social events of all sorts. Our calendars fill up so quickly that all we have time for here in this Advent cafe is a small hot coffee to go. And then it's out the door and on to the next thing. Of course, added to the general busyness of these days, there's also the emotional toll. This is the time of year when seasonal depression begins to show up again and family memories long put aside start bubbling to the surface, as stresses and strains of these hectic days threaten to overwhelm us. As a congregation, we pray for each other week by week because we know that none of us can do it on our own. And we hear this, especially in these past few weeks. Sometimes it feels like this can all be too much to handle. And then, I guess if that wasn't all enough, Rhode Island's unemployment rate sits stubbornly above 11%. And in a recent NBC Wall Street Journal poll, I read that 37% of Americans, only 37%, believe that the economy next year will be any better than this year. Just 37% of Americans who think next year will be any better than this one. And you might say, hey, preacher, thanks a lot. I was feeling okay before I came in here to church this morning. Why don't you tell me something I didn't already know, or that I couldn't have just read in the morning paper today? Well, that's exactly what I plan to do. Because in this crazy season, a time like this, we need to hear some words of hope. In fact, hope is our key word this morning. Hope is a word that's used over 150 times in the Bible. And in the Greek, the Greek word for hope, it literally means expectation. It means waiting expectantly for something that is about to happen. Old Testament biblical scholar Walter Brueggemann says that hope is faith in the future, that the God who we know to be faithful in the present is the God who we know will keep our future. So hope is faith in the future, which is entirely different from optimism. Hope and optimism are two terms that are often used interchangeably in our everyday speech, in our culture, hope and optimism. Someone might ask you, hey, do you think the New England Patriots will win on Monday Night Football this week against the Jets? And you say, oh, I sure hope so. Or you say, I'm optimistic they will. And you mean about the same thing. I hope so. I'm optimistic. But the truth is that the Christian concept of hope is actually very different from optimism. Optimism says the situation isn't all that bad. Optimism says the danger isn't all that real. Optimism says the trouble isn't all that deep. A solution is sure to be just around the corner. Now, I'm a naturally optimistic person, so I'm not against optimism by any means. But it's important to know the difference between optimism and Christian hope. And here it is. Christian hope takes seriously the realities of life. Hope does not deny pain or suffering, danger or death. Instead, hope exists in the face of these realities. That's what hope does. Christian author Annie Lamott writes that hope begins in the dark. That hope begins in the dark, that it emerges from the reality of darkness and difficulty. And that is why, unlike optimism, Christian hope can persevere even into the shadow of death. In our Old Testament lesson today that we heard read, the prophet Isaiah says, "A shoot shall come up out of the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow up out of his roots." And you might not know it, but this is one of the most hope-filled lines in all of Scripture. This line is all about hope. A shoot shall come up from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow up from his roots. I want to tell you about the situation that Isaiah was facing when he wrote this line. You remember that Jesse, the stump of Jesse was the father of David, who became the greatest king in Israel's history. And then David's son was Solomon, who was also a great and wise king over Israel. And the two of them, when they ruled, it was back in the glory days, the good old days for Israel. Everything was going just right. But then after the time of David and Solomon, the nation of Israel split into two. This is a little Old Testament history lesson for you. They split into two, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. And there were two separate countries, no longer one. And each of them had their own kings and rulers, and their life went on. They were in tension with each other. And then in the year 712 BC, think about that, 712 BC, a long time ago, the northern kingdom was attacked by a powerful nation called Assyria. And Assyria was essentially a global superpower who came and kicked in the doors, destroyed their country, and wiped the northern kingdom from the face of the earth. They were never heard from again. So then all that was left was the southern kingdom, which is where Jerusalem is located. Geographically, Jerusalem is in the south, the southern part of Israel. But then in the year 586, so about 130 years after the northern kingdom was destroyed, the southern kingdom was also attacked, this time by a new superpower called Babylon. And their king was Nebuchadnezzar. And so Babylon attacked the southern kingdom. And it was in this time period, when they were being attacked and bullied by Babylon, when they were about to be overrun, that Isaiah is in Jerusalem writing these words. Outside the walls of the city is the strongest army in the world. They're getting ready to lay siege, to overwhelm the walls, and to take it over. Israel is so weak that their army can't stop them. Their king is so small he cannot do anything about it. They're all about to be destroyed. And it was in those dark days that Isaiah wrote this line, "A shoot shall come up out of the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow up out of his root." He writes that a great king, someone in the line of David and of Solomon, will rise up and come to save God's people. He describes this future king and says, "The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord." This will be a great king, greater somehow than even David or even Solomon. And the optimistic person will say, "Oh, good, I'm sure that king will get here before the Babylonians do then. He might be here any minute now. We're not going to be destroyed, the temple torn down stone by stone, exiled from our country into a land we do not know." That's the optimist. But Isaiah was no optimist. He was hopeful. The Babylonians did destroy the walls. They did tear down the temple. They did send the people of Israel out into exile in a land they did not know. And that was real, a real situation that they faced. It was as real as a cancer diagnosis or a chemo treatment. It was as real as an economic recession or an emotional depression. It was as real as a life that feels like it's stuck in fast forward, with deadlines looming and relationships fraying and no time for anything except a small hot coffee to go. The prophet Isaiah was not optimistic, but he was hopeful. And Christian hope is faith in the future. The future that God has for you and for me. It doesn't mean that we won't have any of these problems anymore. It doesn't mean that all that we face isn't all that bad after all. But what it does mean is that God will be with us in this time and in the future time and for all time. And the hope that we share with Isaiah this morning is that this king that we're talking about would one day come and save the people. And about 2,000 years ago, in a little town you might have heard of called Bethlehem, that long-awaited, much-hoped-for king finally came. And his name was Jesus. In Hebrew, Jesus, the name Jesus means he saves his people. So what are you waiting for this Advent season? What are you expecting? What are you in line for at the Advent cafe? Is it just the usual, a small hot coffee to go and then out the door and on to the next thing? Or are you willing to wait and to watch and to hope for something more? The Apostle Paul writes to the Romans, "May the God of hope fill you with all peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's my prayer for you this week, in this crazy Advent season, that you too may abound in hope. That you may not just be optimistic as if all this didn't matter, but instead would recognize how much this matters. That you would put your hope in the Lord, the God of hope, who has a future for you and yours. In this time, we wait and we watch. We look for the coming of our King. Amen.